Know Your State. The Junior League of Charleston and radio station WCHS, in cooperation with the Kanawha County Board of Education, present stories of famous West Virginians and events Thursdays at 9:15 a.m. and Saturdays at 10:45 a.m. Today's program is about the Hatfield-McCoy feud. This is Know Your State.
Again, the story of the Hatfield-McCoy feud. With Cousin Sadie related to both the Hatfields and the McCoys, it still seems hard to believe that here in West Virginia and across the border in Kentucky, these families once waged their own private war against each other.
Yes, my boy, it's a strange tale which fortunately is now part of the past. Yet at that time, these names were linked to one of the most famous feuds in United States history. As you know, the Hatfields lived here in the West Virginia side of Tug Fork in what is now Mingo County. The leader was Anderson Hatfield, better known as Devil Anse. Across the river in Pike County, just 8 miles away, lived the McCoys. Randall McCoy was their leader. Most of these mountaineers were simple, affectionate, and hospitable. In the 1880s, at the height of the feud, the land was much rougher and more primitive than it is now, and extremely inaccessible to outsiders. There was no police protection and only a few courts, which were usually biased. So these courageous but passionate mountaineers took the law into their own hands. This meant getting revenge on private enemies. Although the feud lasted a generation, no one can say exactly when it began. But certainly antagonisms were smoldering during the Civil War. During the war, mountaineers used their northern or southern allegiance as an excuse to shoot at any suspicious figure. Although both West Virginia and Kentucky remained with the North, the leaders of the Hatfields and McCoys took opposite sides. Devil Anse Hatfield became a captain in the Confederate Army, whereas Randall McCoy stayed loyal to the winning Union side. At the end of the war, Randall did not let Devil Anse forget it.
Now, Anse Hatfield, don't you go forgetting who won this war. Let that be a lesson to you to join the right side next time. Why, Johnny Captain isn't worth a Union drummer boy. Just put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Such bullying was typical between the Hatfields and McCoys after the war. All was peaceful until 1873, when the famous pig incident renewed Hatfield-McCoy jealousies. Both families owned many hogs which freely roamed the land. To distinguish the pigs, the owners marked their pigs, often on the ears.
Hey, you see that hog there? It's not yours.
And why not?
Because it's mine, that's why. See those markings on its ear? They're mine, Randall McCoy's.
That's a lie. Now just try and prove it.
Which is exactly what Randall McCoy did try to do. He took his case to the local court. All the Hatfield clan and the McCoy clan, carrying their long-barreled rifles under their arms, came together for a tense trial. Each side insisted his kin owned the hog, so that ill feelings remained strong after the court awarded the hog to the McCoys. By 1880, the McCoys were annoyed because bands of well-armed Hatfields frequently crossed over into McCoy territory. This time, there was an ill-starred love affair between a Hatfield boy and a McCoy girl. Neither family approved of their seeing one another, so this increased tensions between the two clans.
But, Grandfather, when are you going to get to the part about the election? It's so exciting, I can hardly wait.
Well, now, you just hold on, because it's coming right now. By 1882, on election day in Pike County, Kentucky, the mounting tension exploded, and the scars it left took 25 years to heal. Devil Anse had sent his two brothers to this Kentucky election. They came riding into town with a McCoy boy's sweetheart. The jealous McCoy swaggered up to a Hatfield, accusing him of not paying him some money he owed. In the brawl that followed, the McCoy boy, joined by two of his brothers, overpowered the Hatfield men. One Hatfield was knocked out. The other, named Ellison Hatfield, was repeatedly stabbed by the three McCoys so that he was in grave condition. Word was sent immediately to Devil Anse, who rounded up 42 of his kin, then rode frantically to his wounded brother.
Heaven's sake, Ellison. The bug McCoy sure have stabbed you plenty. Ellison, you just got to pull through. If you don't, for every stab they made in you, I aim to take a life.
Although the three McCoys had been arrested on the spot by a constable, Devil Anse had more authority. He threatened revenge if Ellison died.
Now, I aim to take charge of these McCoys until we see how Ellison does.
Now, sons, don't you go talking back to any of these Hatfields. Keep mum while I go to Pikeville to get a lawyer to defend you.
A little later, Devil Anse and his men had taken the prisoners to an abandoned schoolhouse. Meanwhile, Sarah McCoy, the boy's mother, had heard the bad news and had set forth to find them.
Have you got my boys here?
They're here.
Couldn't I see them?
No harm for the man this ma'am to see her babies, I reckon.
Oh, my sons, look at you, bound up like cattle going to slaughter.
Ellison is dead.
So they killed him, huh? The McCoys killed him. All right, men. Let's get the prisoners moving.
Oh, for God's sakes, Aunt Hatfield, please, oh, please do spare my boys. Let them stand trial. Have mercy. Why, little Randall's only 15 years old.
Ma, don't you go begging to a Hatfield. That's worse than death itself.
All right, let's get moving now.
When the band of Hatfields and her three McCoy prisoners arrived a short distance from the banks of the tug on the Kentucky side, the three McCoys were tied to pawpaw bushes and riddled with bullets. With the murder of the three McCoy boys, there was no turning back. Randall McCoy's attempt to get the law in time had failed. With the Hatfields back in West Virginia, the Kentucky law could not touch them.
Randall, seems like we ought to have a few rights. Those Hatfields can't get away with murdering three of our boys. Husband, can't you do something more?
Well, Sarah, maybe the governor could do something.
5 years later, in 1887, the new governor of Kentucky did. First, Governor Buckner asked West Virginia's Governor Wilson for the 23 Hatfields and also offered a reward for Devil Anse. Assuming that West Virginia would deliver these Hatfields over to Kentucky, the Kentucky governor appointed a cruel and fearless man, Frank Phillips, as deputy sheriff. When Devil Anse heard this, he knew that he and his men would never get a fair trial in Kentucky, so he organized a clever vigilante system for self-protection. The West Virginia governor did not deliver up the wanted Hatfields to Kentucky, so Frank Phillips crossed over into West Virginia without warrants and captured three of the wanted Hatfields and took them to a Kentucky jail.
I bet that made the Hatfields mighty mad.
It certainly did. By New Year's Eve, 1887, the Hatfields could stand their exile no longer. They gathered together.
Let's end this mess for good. Now, tonight, men, we're going to Randall McCoy's and get him. If he's out of the way, we can roam this land free again. Who's Randall think he is, anyhow? Getting Frank Phillips to come into our state and kidnap our men. We'll show him.
In the dead of the night, they surrounded the McCoy house.
Randall McCoy! Randall McCoy! I say come out of there and surrender yourself!
When Randall McCoy did not appear, the Hatfields opened fire. Inside the house were Randall, his son Calvin, plus his wife Sarah, several daughters and grandchildren. The two McCoy men shot back at the attackers as best they could. Suddenly, the roof was on fire.
The house is on fire. Allifair, get some rainwater.
I'll try, Paul.
As Allifair McCoy stepped outside to get some water, a Hatfield mistook her for her brother and killed her on the spot. Her mother rushed toward the body of her daughter.
Oh, my daughter. My Allifair.
Don't move or I'll shoot.
When Sarah McCoy kept going despite the warning, the Hatfield struck her with his weapon, knocking her unconscious. In the meantime, Randall McCoy and Calvin realized they all have to flee the burning house. So doing, Calvin was killed, but Randall and the rest of the women and children escaped to safety. With the murder of two more McCoys and a total destruction of the McCoy house, news of the tragedy spread across the land. Kentucky offered large amounts in rewards for the Hatfields. Again, Frank Phillips, posing as state agent, led a posse into West Virginia. For 3 days in a row, he and his men raided the Hatfields, killing two of the wanted Hatfields, kidnapping 9 others who were not on the wanted list.
You mean, Grandfather, that Frank Phillips and his men could actually kidnap 9 full-grown men?
Well, you see, son, in the raids on the Hatfields, Phillips' men actually killed 2 and captured 9 others whom they took back to Kentucky. This was considered kidnapping, since West Virginia law did not permit another state's agent to arrest West Virginians without first getting warrants. You can imagine how infuriated the West Virginia governor was. When Kentucky refused to release the captured Hatfields, West Virginia retaliated by offering rewards for the capture of Phillips and all 22 men in his posse. At this point, the feeling between the two states became so bitter that they prepared to send troops to the West Virginia-Kentucky border to maintain order.
Imagine! West Virginia and Kentucky almost going to war against each other because of this feud.
Yes, that's right. But there's even more. In the meantime, West Virginia was taking legal action to get the kidnapped Hatfields released. But Kentucky replied that the prisoners could not be released without a court order. And so, what started as a backwoods mountain feud became a legal case of national prominence. The case was first tried before the Kentucky District Court, then before the Kentucky Circuit Court, and finally before the United States Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court? You mean the very highest court in the whole United States?
That's right, my boy. The Supreme Court's ruling was so important because its decision said that Kentucky was legally right in holding the wanted Hatfields as prisoners, even though they had been illegally taken from West Virginia.
So after this case, I suppose Kentucky was still trying to capture and the remaining wanted Hatfields.
Yes, and because so much reward money was being offered for the Hatfields, detectives from all over the country came into the Tug Fork area in hopes of capturing some of the wanted Hatfields.
But, Grandfather, did they ever capture Devil Anse?
No, son, they never did. He always managed to escape. But with all the detectives, especially after Devil Anse, he moved from his mountain home to Logan County, West Virginia, where he hid out for many years. Both leaders of the feud, Devil Anse Hatfield and Randall McCoy, lived to be very elderly and died of natural causes. Only one Hatfield was executed by the state of Kentucky. Several Hatfields received life sentences in the Kentucky penitentiary, but the two sons of Devil Anse most active in the feud eventually were set free. No one will ever know how many people were killed during the feud, but it was quite a number. But you must remember that many Hatfields and McCoys did not approve of either side's lawlessness and took no part in it. Did you know that one of the sons of Devil Anse Hatfield became governor of West Virginia in 1912? His name was Dr. Henry D. Hatfield. One of his strongest supporters was a McCoy.
Imagine that.
Some hostilities continued in the early 1900s, but with the coming of industry, and especially the mining of coal in that region, passions cooled off. Since then, Hatfields and McCoys have married each other and have forgotten the bloody past.
I'm glad the feud guns were finally stacked.
This has been Know Your State, today's episode about a famous event in West Virginia's history, the Hatfield-McCoy feud. Know Your State is a public service presentation of the Junior League of Charleston, West Virginia, the Kanawha County Board of Education, and WCHS Radio.